The ends of invention was so huge it was built on three almost totally separate levels, each over 3 kilometres deep. They were pressure levels. There, because otherwise the differential between the very bottom and the very top of the giant ship would have been the difference between standard sea level and a mountaintop somewhere in the tropopause. As it was, there existed a 3,500-metre difference between the base and roof of each pressure level, making sudden journeys by travel tube from one to the other inadvisable. In the immense open cave that was the hollow centre of the GSV, the pressure levels were marked by force fields, not anything material, so that craft could pass from one level to another without having to go outside the vessel, and it was toward one of those boundaries, marked by cloud, that the clear air turbulence was falling. Firing the laser did no good whatsoever, though Hawser didn't know that at the time. It was a Vavatch computer which had taken over the internal monitoring and control from the culture's own minds, which opened a hole in the force field to let the falling vessel through. It did so in the mistaken assumption that less damage would be caused to the ends of invention by letting the rogue vessel fall through than having it impact. In the centre of a sudden maelstrom of air and cloud, in its own small hurricane, the cat burst through from the thick air at the bottom of one pressure level and into the thin atmosphere at the top of the one below. A vortex of rag-cladded air blew out after it like an inverted explosion. Hawser opened his eyes again and saw with relief the distant floor of the GSV's cavernous interior and the climbing figures on the main fusion motor's monitor screens. He hit the engine throttles again, this time leaving the nose motor alone. The two main engines caught, shoving Hawser back in his seat against the clawing hold of the restrainer fields. He pulled the nose of the diving craft up, watching the floor far below gradually disappear from view, as it was replaced by the sight of another wall of opened bay doors. The doors were much larger than those of the small bays in the level they had just left, and the few craft Hawser could see, either nosing into or appearing out of the lit lengths of the huge hangars, were full-size starships. Hawser watched the screen, piloting the clear air turbulence exactly like an aircraft. They were travelling quickly along a vast corridor over a kilometre across, with a layer of clouds about 1,500 metres above them. Starships were moving slowly through the same space, a few on their own AG fields, most towed by light lifter tugs. Everything else was moving slowly and without a fuss. Only the cat disturbed the calm of the giant ship's interior, screaming through the air on twin swords of brilliant flame, pulsing from white-hot plasma chambers. Another cliff face of huge hangar doors faced them. Hawser looked about him at the curve of main screen and pulled the cat over on a long banking left turn, diving a little at the same time to head down an even broader canyon of space. They flashed over a slow-moving clipper being towed toward a distant open main bay, rocking the starship in their wake of superheated air. The wall of doors and opened entrances slanted toward them as Hawser tightened the turn. Ahead, Hawser could see what looked like a cloud of insects, hundreds of tiny black specks floating in the air. Far beyond them, maybe 5 or 6 kilometres away, a 1,000-metre square of blackness, bordered with a slowly flashing strip of subdued white light, was the exit from the ends of invention. It was a straight run. Hawser sighed and felt his whole body relax. Unless they were intercepted, they had done it. With a little luck now, they might even get away from the orbital itself. He gunned the engines, heading for the inky square in the distance. Wopslin suddenly sat forward against the pull of acceleration and punched some buttons. His repeater screen set in the console magnified the centre section of the main screen, showing the view ahead. "They're people!" he shouted. Hawser frowned over at the man. "What?" "People! Those are people! They must be in AG harnesses! We're going to go straight through them!" Hawser looked briefly over at Wobslin's repeater screen. It was true. The black cloud which almost filled the screen was made up of humans flying slowly about in suits or ordinary clothes. There were thousands of them, Hawser saw, less than a kilometre ahead and closing quickly. Wobslin was staring at the screen, waving his hand at the people. "Get out of the way! Get out of the way!" he was shouting. Hawser couldn't see a way around, over or beneath the mass of flying people. Whether they were playing some curious mass aerial game or were just enjoying themselves, there were too many, too close, too widespread. "Shit!" Hawser said. He got ready to cut the rear plasma motors before the clear air turbulence went into the cloud of humans. With luck, they might make it through before they had to relight them, and so not incinerate too many people. "No!" Wobslin screamed. He threw the restraining straps off, leapt across toward Hawser, and dived at the controls. Hawser tried to fend the bulky engineer off, but failed. The controls were wrenched from his hands, and the view on the main screen tipped and swirled, pointing the nose of the speeding ship away from the black square of the GSV exit, away from the huge cloud of airborne people, and toward the cliff of brightly lit main bay entrances. Hawser clouted Wobslin across the head with his arm, sending the man falling to the floor, stunned. He grabbed the controls back from the relaxing fingers of the engineer, but it was too late to turn away. Hawser steadied and aimed. The clear air turbulence darted for an open main bay. It flashed through the open entrance and swept over the skeleton of a starship being rebuilt in the bay, the light from the cat's motors starting fires, singeing hair, smouldering clothes and blinding unprotected eyes. Hawser saw Wobslin lying unconscious on the floor out of the corner of his eye, rocking gently as the cat careered through the half-kilometer length of main bay. The doors to the next bay were open, and the next, and the next. They were flying through a 2-kilometer tunnel, racing over the repair and docking facilities of one of Ivanov's displaced shipbuilders. Hawser didn't know what was at the far end, but he could see that before they got there, they would have to fly over the top of a large spaceship which almost filled the third bay along. Hawser vectored the fusion fire ahead so that they started to slow. Twin beams of fire flashed on either side of the main screen as the fusion power kicked forward. Wobslin's unrestrained body slid forward on the floor of the bridge, wedging under the console and his own seat. Hawser lifted the cat's nose as the blunt snout of the parked spacecraft sitting in the bay ahead approached. The clear air turbulence zoomed toward the ceiling of the main bay, flashed between it and the top surface of the ship, then fell on the other side, and, although still slowing, shot through the final main bay and into another corridor of free airspace. It was too narrow. Hawser dived the craft again, saw the floor coming up and fired the lasers. The cat burst through a rising cloud of glowing wreckage, bumping and shaking. Wobslin's squat frame sliding out from under the console and floating back up toward the rear door of the bridge. At first, Hawser thought they were out at last, but they weren't. They were in what the culture called a general bay. The cat fell once more, then leveled out again. It was in a space that seemed even larger than the main interior of the GSV. It was flying through the bay they had stored the megaship in, the same megaship Hawser had seen on the screen earlier being lifted out of the water by 100 or so ancient culture lifter craft.